Welcome into today's episode of Walk the Pine, the NFL. The NFL draft is upon us. We are 6 days away before my Chicago Bears are officially on the clock with pick one, presumably Caleb Williams. Gentlemen, are we hyped up about this or what?
Oh, yes.
The city of Chicago is on the come up. We're also in the hockey lottery as well. This is going to be awesome.
I wonder if we will get the back-to-back in the hockey lottery, like the Bears having back-to-back number one overall picks. Well, they didn't draft the number one overall pick, but the Bears still had back-to-back number one overall picks in the grand scheme of things. You know, they earned it last year, this year, earning it by the trade with the Carolina Panthers that we made to move out of the one pick this year. Carolina Panthers went on to be the worst team, and the Bears have the rights to Caleb Williams. Exciting time. It was funny. They were talking about it on 670 The Score. They were like, Connor Bedard, Caleb Williams, Angel Reese. And I was like, all right. Angel Reese. I was like, why aren't we talking about, what's her name? Camila Cardoso.
Yeah, that girl's good too.
We drafted her number three overall.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we had the third and the
seventh. And Angel was
pick.
The second one. Why will everything I saw, Angel?
Exactly. Well, Angel is a very polarizing figure.
What the fuck, dude?
But I was like, Camila Cardoso is so much better.
That's insane to me.
But they're called, you know what they're calling them? Sears and John Hancock.
Let's go.
The Twin Towers. Well, not, no, not the Twin Towers.
No, that's New York.
They're just calling that's them Sears and John Hancock.
Like they're calling
like
them
they're
like
saying like
the two monsters. It's like Horace and Scotty comparisons is what I'm seeing. No bullshit. Serious? This is like they were saying, like this is Horace and Scottie Pippen in the 90s. The Bulls are the Chicago Sky are back up.
Yeah, this girl, the girl we got third, I actually think is pretty solid. But I honestly feel like Angel Reese is not actually that good at basketball. So
we'll see how it goes. But regardless, you know, polarizing figures coming to Chicago. Connor Bedard being who he is, the best rookie we've seen since Connor McDavid, arguably. Caleb Williams, this highly touted prospect, the most highly touted quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck in 2012, coming to Chicago. They are on the rise.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for Chicago sports to be back.
Painting my nails, getting excited about that as well. Okay. I am doing it, by the way, guys, for the content.
Yep. Good for you, man. Good for you.
For the content.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for the content. That's what you want to say.
My nails will be painted, though. As soon as the selection is made, I'll be sitting down.
Make them say Willy Willy G.
No, they're going to say Bear Down.
And you're going to, like, how are you going to do your hands? Let me see how you're going to put your hands when you do it.
When, like, I'm getting my nails
done. No, when you take the picture.
Oh, when I take the picture? Hold on. I'm going to put the mic down for a second so I can show them how to do this.
Okay.
Bear Down.
That's exactly how I expected you to do it.
Willy Willy G.
All right. I showed him.
It's pretty cool.
But Caleb Williams has not been selected yet, so we don't really need to talk about it. It is already presumably the pick has been made. Yeah. I expect them to have the draft card ready to be handed to Roger Goodell the minute he says the NFL draft is on their way. Let's dive into the draft, though.
Yeah, so we all know Caleb Williams is the number one pick, but how do you think the remaining nine picks of the top 10 will shape out?
Now, this is interesting because you have 2022, which was one of the most boring NFL first rounds ever that I've ever watched in my life. It was very anticlimactic. You know, there's no good quarterbacks in the class. Two or three good receivers who ended up panning out, you know. But it was just a boring draft. And when it comes to the NFL, you want drama and you want it in the NFL draft. It is reality TV at its finest. That's why 2022 sucked. 2023, you had some drama. You have Carolina coming up, a few moves being made in there, Jalen Carter falling. This has a chance to reach 2021 levels. Maybe even historic levels ever. In 2021, a record was set. First three picks were quarterbacks. Has never been done before in NFL, or at least I'm pretty sure in the modern draft era. Now, there's rumors of 1, 2, 3, and 4 being quarterback, which we have never seen in the history of the NFL. We have never seen 4 quarterbacks go in the first 5 picks ever, and there we have a chance for that to happen on Friday night or on next Thursday night, but that will not happen without drama. Somebody will have to come up and trade up.
Well, that is going to be one of the biggest question marks, I think, of the draft is going to be, is Minnesota going to be one of the teams to come up?
That's exciting. That's the exciting part about it. They made a move with the Houston Texans, granting them pick 23. They traded back up into the first round like a month ago to give them more ammunition to be able to fire up to number 4 or number 5 with Arizona or Los Angeles. Obviously, I hope they don't, but if there is a favorite to come up and select anybody, it's Minnesota because they have 2 first-round picks. They can move a 3rd next year. I just don't, like, yes, history is, like, meant to be, records are meant to be broken, history is meant to change, but, like, this is not how the NFL draft works. We haven't seen 3 receivers taken in the top 10 picks since, I believe, 2017, and you're supposed to have Romo Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Malik Nabers all gone by presumably even 9. And on top of that, 4 quarterbacks, like, nobody's even batting an eye at defense. It's all quarterback, tackles, and wide receivers. This class is so loaded. This is one of the most exciting draft classes of our lifetime so far. It has a chance to be as good as 2014 draft, as good as arguably the 83 draft and 89 draft. 3 massive drafts, which led to superstars. So how I see it playing out is I see number 1 being Caleb Williams. 2 is difficult because I do think it's going to be Jaden McDaniels. Just on the wind, that's the way the wind's blowing. But, like, in my eyes, I think it should be Drake May. He ran the air raid system in college. Cliff Kingsbury runs an air raid system. New offensive coordinator there. So I'll be very, like, you also have Cliff Kingsbury, who coached Kyler Murray. Very, you know, similar running styles and this and that with Jaden McDaniels. So I think it should be Drake May, but it seems like the wind is blowing towards Jaden Daniels. So I think it's going to go Jaden Daniels and then Drake May at 3 with New England. And then that is where it gets really interesting.
What are some of the risks you see with drafting a guy like Jaden McDaniels?
Well, he doesn't have the best size, your ideal size for a quarterback. He's fast and he's skinny.
Yeah, he's skinny.
Very, very skinny. You know, he's got a big arm. His running style is extremely reckless, though. That's one of the risks I see with that. Another risk I see is, you don't want to be caught up in a one-year wonder. You sometimes it's easy to look too deep into these one-year wonders. Drake May did it, you know, 2 solid years in the ACC at North Carolina with a horrible team, really. Jaden Daniels was at Arizona State for 4 seasons with the Sun Devils. Apparently did not get along well with the team and, you know, the coaching staff at Arizona State. The reason for his transfer to LSU, and he goes into LSU with the best system that he's ever had in his life and lights the world on fire. You know, nobody was looking at Jaden Daniels as a top 10 pick, arguably not even a first round pick last year. And I mean, even at, like, this is what's so beautiful about the NFL draft is, like, in December, it was Caleb Williams, number 1, Drake May, number 2, Jaden Daniels, maybe a top 15 pick, and J.J. McCarthy, 2nd round pick. This is what happens every single year.
Recency bias.
Boom. Now people are talking. Quarterbacks in need. They look into the film. Okay, people start yapping. Okay, this guy might have first round potential. Now these guys fly up the boards. Now all the draft experts say it can go 1, 2, 3, 4. History does not work that way. There's a reason Justin Fields fell to 11 after Justin Fields was projected to be a top five pick. Mac Jones was arguably going to be a top five pick. He fell to 15. We have no idea what's going on in the minds of these NFL GMs. So I think it is going to go 1, 2, 3. Don't know if Minnesota's. I'm going to say Minnesota does come up to 5, and they draft J.J. McCarthy at pick 5. So I think Arizona goes Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. J.J. McCarthy goes 5. New York finds themselves in a rut, still stuck with Daniel Jones, but they get him a phenomenal weapon in Malik Nabers at pick 6. Now you got 7. The Titans, they sign Calvin Ridley. They have Treylon Burks. They already have DeAndre Hopkins. So the wide receiver room is pretty set. I still could see them going receiver. Treylon Burks hasn't exactly worked out, and DeAndre Hopkins is old, and Calvin Ridley's a wild card. I think you have a very sure thing in Romo Odunze. But I don't know. That's still 50-50 to me. They're probably going to go Joe Alt, the best left tackle that we've seen in a long time. Maybe since Penei Sewell. That might be a reach, but one of the best left tackle prospects we've seen in a while. Tennessee's going to lock up that left side for Will Levis. Then you got 8 with the Falcons. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because they've also been a team who was going to take wide receiver in the draft 2 months ago, but they got Rondale Moore now. They traded for Rondale Moore. They got Darnell Mooney. They already have Drake London there, Kyle Pitts there. So they're pretty stacked up at wide receiver, and then they acquired Kirk Cousins. So I don't necessarily see them going receiver as well when they are in desperate need for an edge rusher. I also see them trading out of this pick. Like, they very well could trade out of this pick, move back into the early teens for someone to come up and draft Romo Odunze. Chicago, pick 9, another wild card. A team who I would love to draft Romo Odunze, because they also have a situation like Tennessee. You know, they have DJ Moore. They have Keenan Allen, 2 1,300-yard receivers last year. The most combined yards between a duo in the NFL, I think, outside of Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, which is amazing for us, thank God. But Keenan Allen's 32. You know, he's on 1 year left of his deal. They need stability after the season at that position. They could take Romo Odunze, but teams could try and jump. Chicago is also a team that can completely trade out of this. This is what I'm doing. There's so many what ifs in this draft class. It is the most excited I've ever been.
Well, with that said, I mean, I'd have to imagine the middle of the first round is still got to be a lot of really good players that are not even being looked at because of how top heavy this draft is.
Oh, 1,000%. That's where the fun continues. You're going to see teams like LA, you know, potentially moving back out of this, Chicago moving back out of the first round. There's always trades. There's like, it just happens. That's why I'm saying, like, but it would just blow my mind that we would see a potential 4 QB top 5 and 3 receivers go in the top 10. I mean, you're talking 7 of your 10 picks right there, all focused in on wide receivers and quarterbacks and tackles. Cause I don't know if an edge rusher is going to go. Chicago could take an edge rusher. Atlanta could take an edge rusher. I just don't know if I value those guys on that level. Like, I think in my eyes, they're maybe mid-round picks, but when it comes to draft needs and positional value, the edge rusher is the most important position on defense. So it boosts their stock up a little bit. That's why you never see running backs and linebackers really go in the first round anymore, because it's adjusted to a passing league. Everything affects the pass. Value is on the pass. Most important position, quarterback. Second position, pass rusher. Third position, pass protector, left tackle. And then you got wide receivers and cornerbacks. You need someone to defend the pass and catch the pass. It revolves around the pass. Nobody gives a fuck about the linebackers. Nobody gives a fuck about the running backs, because nobody runs the fucking ball anymore.
It's interesting to bring up the shift in the meta of the NFL. When would you say that, like, officially became the mindset of all teams in this league?
I think it locked in at Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. I think when Patrick Mahomes started doing what he was doing, we saw a shift, because we saw what he did so quickly. Like, the developmental stage for quarterbacks, out the door. You're good or you're not. That's how it goes.
Right.
That's why, I mean, it's like another quarterback who really affected that is Justin Herbert. CJ Stroud is only making the case even harder. It's very difficult for these franchises to let these guys play out and become, you know, potential stars. I mean, we saw how quickly the Rams gave up on Jared Goff. You know, he had a few good years, but it was like, all right, he's not the franchise guy. We're going to trade him for Matt Stafford. They got a Super Bowl out of it. The Lions got a good quarterback out of it. It ended up working out for both teams really well. But that's when I would say that the shift really, really started. You know, when I was younger, I remember I've watched, you know, damn near every single draft that you could imagine. When I was younger, it was you had three or four running backs going in the first round. You know, three or four linebackers going in the same draft. You know, you had eight positions of value because they were valuable at the time. Quarterbacks have always been valued high, always, you know, throughout history. But that's when I think the shift really hit because you had Mahomes, Stroud, and Herbert come in year one, throw for 4,000 yards, which the Bears have never done in the history of their franchise first year. You see them come in and throw 30 touchdowns, those kind of guys. I think the developmental age is dead, and I think that's why we're moving, you know. But I think the early stages started with, like, Peyton Manning in, like, 2013, throwing 55 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, record-breaking seasons, you know, something that will take years to, you know, break records, break those records. That's just insane. So that's when I think the shift really, really kicked in. But back to like what you were saying about the middle rounds, I'm excited about those. You got guys like Brock Bowers, who is arguably a top five prospect in this draft, the best tight end in this draft by far. But it's once again positional value. You know, there's Jackson Powers Johnson in the later rounds, the center out of Oregon. He might be a top five player in this draft, but the center position is not important as compared to wide receivers, quarterbacks, tackles, defensive ends, cornerbacks. That's why he falls so hard. Talent-wise, and like in terms of how his career is going to play out, I think we're going to look at him as a future Hall of Famer one day, but he's not going to make that jump because his position is so meaningless in the eyes of NFL GMs. So I'm excited about the middle rounds. I think you're going to see the second string of tackles go around then. J.C. Latham, all those guys.
So speaking of which, when do you think the second wave of wide receivers and quarterbacks, because there's so many that are going so quickly, when do you think we're going to see the second wave of those people start popping up, you think?
Now, this is also what's going to be like. I can't get over how excited I am about this. You know, usually the wide receivers start really kicking in around like pick 10, 11. But now that we have such a top heavy wide, I mean, you have three blue chip wide receivers out of this draft class. All three of these guys are premier prospects, the best of the best. I don't know if we've ever seen as strong of a wide receiver since 2014, when you had Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Davante Adams. Like, but even like then, Odell and Mike Evans were very, very top heavy strong. The second wave, you're looking at Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell. Brian Thomas Jr., I think, could go as early as '17. I think that could be a reach, though. I think that's the earliest he could go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville lost Calvin Ridley to their division rival, Tennessee. They're in desperate need of another wide receiver. They signed Gabe Davis, but they need a true wide receiver one, and they don't have that there anymore. So that's as early as I think Brian Thomas Jr. will go. I think he'll probably go pick 20 to the Steelers is how I see that faring out. Maybe even early 20s. Somebody could trade up for him, like Buffalo, who needs a receiver. But this is another thing. Xavier Worthy broke the combine record. He's the fastest player in NFL history. In terms of the 40-yard dash, it's going to be interesting to see when he falls, because that, boom, boosts your draft stock. I'm seeing mock drafts with him going as, once again, early as 20, when he was considered a early second, late first-round pick. a month ago, two months ago now. So, yeah, I'm thinking that's when we're probably going to get the second wave of wide receivers. The late teens, early 20s is when they'll start kicking in. But I only think it's about two or three of those guys. I don't think you're going to see guys like Tez Walker, Ladd McConkey really make that jump. Even though I'm really high on Ladd McConkey, I think Ladd McConkey should be a first-round pick, but he won't be looked at as one. But I guess you never know. Like, those last few picks of the draft, those guys are just looking for – because they're the best teams in football. You know, they're just looking for usually depth, which comes to receiver, cornerbacks, edge rushers, positions of need that need depth. You need a lot of cornerbacks to lock down wide receivers. You need a lot of wide receivers to beat quarterbacks. You need a lot of pass rushers to keep the rotation going, defensive line. That's really when I see that second wave kind of smacking.
You briefly mentioned the Jaguars and their need for a wide receiver one. How are you going about the what's his name? Trevor Lawrence. How are you going about Trevor Lawrence's contract amidst all this?
That's a very, very good question. I don't know.
I don't think the Jags know either.
Yeah, they've had brief contract talks, but not much. And I think they – oh, man, this is a tough question. I don't know if I'm giving him the money because it's risky, but if I had to – if you had, like, gun to my head, you got to make a decision, pay him or don't, I'm paying him. Because why I think it could work out in your favor is you could find yourself in a Josh Allen Buffalo kind of situation. Josh Allen had a great year three, took a big leap, but it wasn't like Patrick, like his first 2 years, he struggled. So there was like a lot of question marks on if he could stay consistent with it. It wasn't like Patrick Mahomes, where every single year of his first year of his contract years, he was phenomenal. Same with Herbert and Burrow. Those guys, all three of them were great up until their contract dispute, or up until their they were able to be extended. You know, Josh Allen had two rough years, then had a phenomenal third year, so they were able to lock him up for, you know, only 70% of the cost of what Mahomes, Allen, and Herbert would go for nowadays, or Mahomes, Herbert, and Burrow would go for nowadays. So that's a phenomenal contract. That's maybe the best contract in the NFL right now. They're paying him not top dollar for the quarterback position to be a top dollar QB over 7 years. So that's what I'm saying. You could find yourself in that spot where it's like, okay, he had a great year two, struggled in year three, struggled in year one. We could pay him the money now and find ourselves, you know, we don't have to pay him the top dollar money like the quarterbacks are grasping for. But then again, he also could be like, no, I want to prove it. Like, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got a 5-year rookie deal. So he could, you know, just go out there, ball out next year, get that Patrick Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert type money. So I think that's why they're not worried about it. They'll obviously pick up his 5th-year option, making him 2 years left on his contract after this. So, yeah, I think I am going to pay him because I think once, like I said, I think you could find yourself in the Josh Allen situation of that cheap contract for a great quarterback. But there's also a downside to it. You could find yourself in a Daniel Jones situation, Danny Dimes situation.
Danny Dimes.
Which is a horrible situation to be in for New York.
I saw.
They're paying him.
I saw a Daniel Jones highlight reel on my Instagram. The top comment is, stop trying to push this agenda of Daniel Jones being good. He's terrible. No New Yorkers are behind this guy.
Well, the contract was stupid from the jump. You know, he took them to the playoffs, but there was a lot of good things going on with that team. You know, and they got a playoff win. It's hard to just let that walk,
I guess.
But at the same time, like, he had 15 touchdown passes. And he did like 7 rushing touchdowns, but they gave him like $38 million a year for 15 touchdown passes. Like, that's not good.
No.
Like, that's really bad. And now they're stuck. He didn't take the leap. He sucked this last year, like we all expected him to. So I'm not really surprised that they're in this situation, because I thought it was stupid for them to hand out the contract to begin with. So that's why the situation overall relates probably more to Kyler Murray, who the Arizona Cardinals were like, okay, we either got to trade him or extend him. It's tough to let a guy like Kyler Murray walk, who's been a Pro Bowler and whatnot. But they decided to give him $48 million a year, which is a shit ton of money. And then not necessarily play the best football after. So he's like around the – he's probably like a top 12 quarterback, and he's probably making top five money. It's tough with these situations, man. So gun to my head, I'm paying Trevor Lawrence, hoping in 5 years I look like a genius or lose my job in 2 years. Regardless of which, I'm excited about the NFL draft.
Yeah, it sounds like a really exciting draft, honestly. I mean, I'm excited myself. It's going to be a good day for the Chicago Bears, good day for Chicago, and honestly, I guess a good day for the NFL.
I will be going live for both the first overall pick and the pick nine on the Instagram on my phone. Kind of just do a little live tap in from back home, where I'll be in my own little war room, you know, typing up the reports and whatnot, having, you know, being with the family, watching the draft, being with my pops. But I do go live for the picks. I have some phenomenal reactions over the years of me going live from the picks. So I like doing it. I like tapping in with the followers. Yeah. So I don't even know if I'll go live for the first overall pick, because, I mean, it's just going to be there's still the fear in me that something
if they pulled something crazy like that. Oh, man.
I don't think they tried.
After trading Justin Fields, too.
Well, let's not act like that's a big deal.
Well, it's a big deal if they didn't take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'd cry. Yeah.
Anyways,
let's not put that in the universe, eh?
No, yeah, it's just the Bears. You know, I think we got it right. We got it figured out. 99% chance that we're taking Caleb Williams in my eyes, but there's just always that slight little fear that it doesn't happen. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this Friday edition of Walk the Pine. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.